Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those marking their first adventure into my realm, this is a vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. That's, you know, they specialize in a plethora of art forms. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me at my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at JV Hilliard Books, or look for me on Facebook and Discord just as JV Hilliard. So as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my message spell and take control of the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today we are going to be chronicling the adventures of our first guest that's ever been a poet, Wisperia Wailing. And if that isn't the coolest name ever, I don't know what is. But here's the catch. If you're expecting to hear beautiful and flowing words of poetry, you're going to be mistaken. Wisperia writes horror poetry. Let me say that again. Horror poetry. And so she's going to read some in a little bit. And if you've never read a poem that scares you, you're in the right place. Stick around and you'll hear this. So if you like Friday the 13th meets Edgar Allan Poe, you're listening to the right show tonight. Wisperia, well met and welcome to my realm.
Thank you.
So tell our listeners about you and what you write and where they can find you.
Yeah, well, I've been working on a book of horror poems. Right now I have poems in a few different places, but the book is really where my head is at right now. I'm on Instagram. And sometimes I'll come out with poems on there, but I find that Instagram poems are really the opposite of horror, so I'm a little bit hesitant to bring out the full-on horror vibe on there because I feel like people won't be able to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's sort of like the friendly place. You go, you're friendly on Instagram, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
like,
you're coming in, punching them right in the face.
About murder, so.
Well, look, let's dive right into it. I've got three letters. WTF. Like, I didn't even know horror poetry was a thing. Like, I'm aware of Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft, but for you, why poetry, and then specifically, why horror poetry in particular?
Well, there's this book I was actually really inspired by. I read it a long time ago in college, but it's called Monsterverse, Poems Human and Inhuman, and it brings together poems by a lot of different great writers. And that I thought that was an interesting concept because it's poems with monsters in them. So I guess that sort of planted the seed a long time ago. And I've always been inspired by Stephen King. I've read a lot of his books, even though he doesn't do poems, but definitely people think of him as the horror guy. So, and also I've talked to a lot of people who, when I ask them do they like horror as a genre, they say they like psychological horror, but not jump scares. And, you know, I think poetry is the perfect place for a psychological horror experience versus, you know, because a jump scare isn't something you would get in a poem, but, you know, it dives into people's heads. And sometimes that is where the real horror is, and it's not necessarily the movie cliches that we've all seen in horror movies.
You know, I think that's really well said because I agree with that. Like, I think poetry offers you a door into a, you know, a vast world of imagination, right? And you're just taking the one lane that can scare people in a way that is psychological. When you see the popularity of suspense and thriller novels and things like that, you get a sense of people. I mean, obviously they like it, or else they wouldn't sell as many books or make as many movies about it. So I think you hit the nail on the head. It's something that you know, I first of all didn't know was a genre, save for a handful of folks out there that are known for it. But you mentioned Stephen King before, and the reason I want to get back to that is I know you, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But anybody that knows you, if you were in a mugshot police lineup, you are going to be the last kid picked to be the one that's writing horror poetry. You know what I mean? Like you don't have the crazy eyes of Stephen King, right? You look, there's an innocence about you. There's something that is, you know, delicate and, you know, and it's just, and all of a sudden you're like punching me in the face with your poetry. Like, do your friends, do your family, do people that know you react and say, you write what? Like, if you said poetry, they'd be like, I get it. And you say, no, it's horror poetry. Do they give you that same, that WTF look that I made when you first told me? I mean, do you get that a lot?
Well, I don't know, because people I know really know me as a writer. And I think yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I guess, like, I don't, but thank you for saying I'm not. I'm glad I don't seem like a horror person, because people always say, well, Stephen King, he must be nuts in real life, right? But I think the people who don't write fictional things don't really realize, like, how imaginative someone can be. I mean, Stephen King imagines these crazy stories, but maybe in real life he knows it's just, like, he is grounded with reality, but he likes to go off in his imagination. So I don't know if they think that, but now I do kind of feel, and I want to ask them, you know, is this weird to you guys?
Well, I don't think it's weird. I just think it looks misplaced, you know, but you're right. Like, as I've gotten to know you better, you know, I get it. Like, I know that deep down in you is this darkness that you bring out, and in your craft, and you do it super well. I just think people would be surprised if they met you in that regard. But why the horror poetry? Why did you go down that lane as opposed to other forms of writing? You obviously are talented enough to do things like that. You chose horror for a reason. You know, was that a gut thing, something you were born with, or something you developed over the years, or was it just a general interest in your entire life, or where did it come from?
Yeah, well, I think darker poems are sometimes more emotional. They're more emotional. You know, I think you can find this in other mediums too. But to me at least, and this is just my personal feelings about it, and I'm not saying that this is just the right thing, but sometimes I just feel like the dark. Not necessarily just horror, but darker in general, stuff can be just have a stronger feeling to me than when you see a happy ending but that's just me when I read. So I guess I went all the way down that dark path and tried to see how far I could go there.
Well, you know, I'm in a similar boat in the sense that I write both epic and dark fantasy. And so when you're reading epic fantasy, people think, you know, fun endings where the hero wins and, you know, good conquers evil. And that extends into sci-fi. You find that everywhere, whether it's Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, Star Trek, good guys always win. And then you get this dark stuff, you know, and I, you know, the same kind of thing happens to me. It's like, all the time the good guys win, and you compare that to Game of Thrones, and there's a visceral nature to it. There's something that's just there that you know, I think, you know, kind of, you know, it's different. People like it, and there's a realism that's there. It's like, wow, this is part of me. You know, it's not always the feel goody kind of emotions. It's also this other thing too. But look, I you're a poet. We want to hear it. I know you've got a poem that you've prepared to read for us tonight. And I will say this to those that are listening. There's a couple of triggers in here, as you can imagine. You know, this is a horror poem, so be prepared for what you hear. And look, I'll give you the floor. What do you have for us tonight?
Okay. Well, first, I wanted to say something about what you think villains are. You know, everybody loves a great villain, so that was just a thought I had. But I'll start reading the poem. It's called A Woman's Body. He built engines, but more than that, he fell in love with them. Like every other man he'd respected, he wanted to see how his date could burn through every last bit of bodily fuel, spelling out its beauty within the mechanics of her inner working. This woman, this broken record, she couldn't breathe the power and speed of engineering, or exhale toxicity and heartbreak into the shattering atmosphere, illuminate utter chaos. She could barely push up her sleeves. His buddy who had set him up with her, he had said she was beautiful. But now, with her heart and organs all laid out, fleshy and exposed, a mess, now she was beautiful. She looked respectable now that he had taken her apart. She needed the proper fuel to run her human bits and pieces. That's right, gasoline. It poured gently, carefully over top. But wait, no, stop. It could get even better. Her blood. Now she and the engine would switch places. He put her blood in the body he really loved, the real woman. He put her blood in the machine.
So, all right. That's pretty creepy. You know, that has a little serial killer kind of spin to it, coupled with a little bit of, like, dystopian technology. So where did that come from? Like, what inspired you? Where did that come from?
Well, it's kind of a hyperbolic story expressing how disconnected someone can really be, and about people who look at someone and don't really see them. They see what they want. That's one thing that I kind of think is part of it. This man who's clearly disconnected just sees a machine instead of a person, kind of objectifying her too, because he's so disconnected from reality, and he's mixing up objects with people.
And it's, you know, the words, exhaling toxicity is killer. Like, my goodness, that was good. You know, there were some really strong lines in there that just popped. They're hard to forget. You know, and I think that I have a long form in my literature. The kind of stuff that I write is epic, and so it's usually 500 pages long. You're looking at 140,000 words. You summed up an entire story in 100 words, and that is the true essence of short form. Have you ever considered writing something in long form? I mean, you clearly have the talent to write, but is poetry just the right medium for you?
The idea that has crossed my mind, and I do like the idea of doing that. I think at where I'm at right now is just how much can I put into one short piece? I'm thinking of writers I've read before that have a similar style, not in horror necessarily, but just short stories where they'll pack just so much plot into a short story. And that's a different skill from the kind of writer who does a good job just building long suspense. So I guess I'm kind of packing as much in as I can.
Yeah, I think that, you know, well, first of all, you do it well. From this kind of thing, do you find inspiration from true life? I mean, is this story in some way, you know, delivered to you by you being an observant author and seeing a story on the news or hearing something from a friend or knowing somebody that gave you inspiration, not just for this one, but for the others? I mean, have you ever written a poem about a character in real life or a story from real life?
You know, it's really, I think of all the people I've met in my life, I feel like I've met so many different people. Every person just feels a different thing. Two people can feel happiness, but just feel a completely different happiness, of course. So I kind of have fun using my imagination, because I don't want to say, I didn't really need it. I've met people who love machines. I've met people who loved cars. Glad that I didn't, but I never met somebody who was this guy, but I think you can pull together your experience. Yeah. but, you know, I can pull together, like, traits, and I really can picture this man. He's like people we've met in the sense that he's very obsessed with machines, but he just takes that too far.
A little, yeah, I'd say. But, So I've had people ask me this about my story, so I'm going to ask it of you. Have you ever written something, poem or not, that has given you nightmares?
I've definitely written ones I think it's usually when I go back through and read, especially if I read multiple in a row, you know, sometimes because as I'm working on my book, I'm imagining, you know, somebody read multiple in a row. It's actually a very different experience with the vibe that it gives you, that you walk away with. than reading another scary one. The next one gets to be set up with a mood already, versus if you just were, you know, doing dishes and then you started reading one, it would be kind of a different thing. So,
Yeah, I get that.
The dark tone of it kind of sticks with me a little bit.
Yeah, so it gets you, it changes the mood, right? It kind of, you know, it flips to the other side of the Whisperia Wailing coin. You know, so it's like, you know, in that respect, I totally get it, because I have one of the main characters in my novels is a guy who had a recurring nightmare about a man that was coming for him. And that's, I took that true to life from my own experience. I had this recurring nightmare when I was a late teen, early 20s, that lasted through my high school and part of my college years. And so I was old enough to realize it was a dream, and it was still freaking me out. And the dream would pick up where the last one left off. And, you know, in a weird kind of way, you know, writing about it and building it into my novels was therapeutic for me. Do you have the same thing? Does writing this stuff, is it cathartic? Is there a catharsis that you go through as part of this where it kind of clears the decks for you, if you're having a bad day or something, you know, or a bad week, or, you know, something really horrible has happened to someone, you know, is this a way for you to kind of, you know, cleanse yourself of it and put this on paper like it was for me?
Absolutely. I find writing to be just a calming activity. You know, and when I write these scary things, it's fun, to run with my creativity. But when I get down into the mechanics of the writing and the word choice, I think it do feel like it's calming to just get things out. I also want to go back to something you asked me about, if this is based on real life. And I actually have done quite a bit of research on serial killers and murders that have happened historically. So it is kind of inspired by that too, because I've read a lot about that. So
I had a, you know, when I was young, my uncle read me the story of Spring-Heeled Jack. And Spring-Heeled Jack was it was sort of like this urban legend around the time of Jack the Ripper. It was this creature that would stalk, you know, the London streets, and the cops could never catch him because he was spring-heeled. He would be able to jump over walls and buildings, almost superhero-like, and things like that. And I remember when he read me this story, I didn't think it was actually based in fact, and it scared me like for like a year. And to this day, I'm almost sort of like I know about it, but I don't want to read it. You know, it's like that kind of stuff freaks you out. Have you ever read something of someone else's that you're like, oh, you know, that's like way too, you know, that put me right on the edge, or like that's like it gives you goosebumps when you read it. Have you ever had something like that from someone else?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my head is The Shining by Stephen King. That book
really caught me.
A book can be scary, and it's much scarier than the movie, for anyone who doesn't know that. But it's the mental part of it, being in the characters' heads and their feelings in the house, or just something that a movie can't really capture. And the movie obviously does a good job. And I mean, it's a famous in cinematography, and I think it does a great job for being a movie, but I think the book just a book gets to benefit from some things that a movie doesn't, and a movie benefits from things that a book doesn't. So the book gets to have those things that ultimately made it scarier.
Well, first of all, it does. I mean, The Shining is the ultimate suspenseful psychological thriller, right? And those two little girls staring back at Danny, hello Danny, come play with us forever and ever and ever. That, oh my God, when I was so, that was the scariest movie I've ever seen. And I was young when I saw it, and I shouldn't have seen it when I saw it. And it's to this day scares me. But I read the book later in life because I got on the Stephen King, you know, rage, and it started with Salem's Lot and it went right into The Shining. And they're two different books, two different experiences. I love them both differently, but The Shining sticks with you. It's the kind of thing that you'll be thinking about at night in October, with the lights off, right? It's like, oh, you know, like you just feel the shining. So I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of my favorite too. But I want to get to something
else.
Change
the
subject just a little bit on you. I know you're multi-talented. You do more than poetry, and recently you've started to paint. And your first painting, no surprise to me or anybody listening to the show, was of a graveyard. Now, I do dark fantasy. I did a wine tasting with painting one night back in the day, and you know, it was ridiculous. It was supposed to be this night orchid, you know, with a moon, and mine looked like teeth chattering trees with no orchids on it, with this full moon. We was waiting for like a werewolf to pop up. But you know, is the plan to use some of these paintings as illustrations in your book of horror poetry, or is this just a separate practice that you're doing to express yourself in a different art form?
If I can get my painting skill to the point that I can use it for that, I would love to do that. I'm very new to it, but I like impasto. I've always loved impasto painting, just the texture. And it's something that I think I'm going to take time to work on. But yeah, I definitely want to use that along with my horror-themed stuff.
That's cool. Well, I've got one more question for you before we get into our lightning round, where we'll have a little bit of fun with you. I'll throw out a couple of questions and get some quick responses from you and have some fun. But I used you to help me on some things in my novels. I'm not a poet, pretend to be one. And, you know, I asked you to kind of cross over genres, and you were writing love poetry. You've written ballads for me. You've done things that, you know, I couldn't do on my own, but as another artist, I knew you would do well. Do you find it difficult to write out of genre? I mean, was that hard for you to do, and just, you know, or was there you flipped the switch and you went from, you know, I went from horror to fantasy, or I went from horror to, you know, love poetry. I mean, you can do that kind of thing. Is it easy or hard for you to do that?
I find it easy, but I think that I also, you know, in college I took this class where we talked all about genre bending and how that's something a lot of people like to do these days. So I guess in my head it's like, you know, if the genres blend, that's a good thing. But I also feel like I've explored a lot of different genres, and I didn't struggle with that. But I think the challenges to face are not as much in genre for me, but other elements like who the character might be or the situation. And some people can't write a love scene, for example, let's say, or, you know, maybe some people can't write a battle scene. And if something was to take place in that, you know, a battle scene can occur in a lot of different genres. So I think the idea of things like that would be a challenge if there were a challenge, it would be what is happening or who is experiencing it rather than the genre.
I gotcha. So look, we're coming to the end of the show. I do this with all of my guests. I put you through the gauntlet. It's called the lightning round, and I'm going to throw a bunch of questions at you. Quick answers. You could be one word answer, one sentence answers. If you stump me or you throw something at me that I'm not sure why you answered it that way, I'll stop and we'll go into it a little bit. But I'm just going to start firing a few at you, and hopefully you'll have some fun with it. So are you ready to go into the lightning round?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So first question in the lightning round. If you had to choose a unique kind of pet, and what I mean by this, I'm asking Whisperia the horror poet. You can't pick a dog. You can't pick a cat. If you had to pick a unique kind of pet, what would it be and what would its name be?
Well, I'm not going to lie. My first thought was I forgot. It's quick. Okay. Is a ghost a pet?
Okay. I don't know. This is your answer. It could be. It could be a ghost of a pet. Yeah.
The ghost of a cat. Definitely the ghost of a cat. I think cats are a little creepier than dogs. So stick with, or a dog. I love dogs.
And what would its name be? What would your cat ghost name be?
I always stumble on names. I don't know.
Well, the fact that you went to a ghost instead of a real animal tells me where your head is. So you, I'll let you survive that first question.
Well, I'm thinking of some of the animals from your book that are fantasy creatures. So I thought, you know, why not get imaginative?
Totally fine. No, hey, look, I love it. No problems at all. Second question. Edgar Allan Poe or H.P. Lovecraft?
I love Edgar Allan Poe's work because the tone is so, he just really captures the tone so well. But I love H.P. Lovecraft too. I hate picking between two people, but I've been inspired by Edgar Allan Poe, so I'm sticking to that one.
Yeah, I figured you were going to, you know, and if you were looking for a good name for your cat, it's Poe, by the way.
That's true.
Bram Stoker or Mary Shelley?
Bram Stoker.
Oh, girl after my own heart. He's my favorite. I love Bram Stoker. His Dracula stuff was ridiculously on point, especially back in the day. It was both racy and scary. So, favorite horror movie?
Okay, wait, I don't remember what it was called, but quick snapshot of the movie. So they, two people get an Airbnb. Incidentally, it's booked for both of them at the same time, but they don't know each other. Go into the basement, find the crazy
Barbarian.
Shit. Yeah, okay, I think you're right. So you knew that one, okay.
Oh my God, is that a creepy movie? That I didn't know what to expect. You're 30 minutes into it, and all of a sudden it goes off the rails. Well done. Well, nice pick. I would not have gone in that direction, but now that you mention it, I can see that being one of your favorite movies.
That movie.
Oh, never again. I mean, it is so creepy.
And that was the third one.
All right.
So I was really scared.
Yeah. What was the scariest thing you've ever seen in person?
Let's see. The scariest thing I've ever seen. I don't know why, but my first thought is just being in height, really high up. You know, I did is I jumped off a really high, not all the way to a cliff, but it's like a rock kind of into the water when I was whitewater rafting. I was really scared, but I just jumped. So that was fun.
All right. So if you had to pick a haunted place anywhere in the world to visit, where would it be?
A haunted place to visit? I kind of want to go into I want to go cave diving. There's an official word for it, but where they go deep into caves in the ground. I would do that one day.
Okay. And Halloween's coming up. You got a Halloween costume yet?
I haven't thought of it. I usually like to brainstorm creative stuff and then stick to something simple after I've come up with, because I'm not very good with making costumes or anything. So. But I'll come up.
That's a little bit of a lie. I'm sure your favorite holiday is Halloween, right? So where are we going with this? I'm sure you had your Halloween costume in the back of your mind since last year.
I will say last year my boyfriend was he was Wonder Woman and I was Batman. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's not scary.
It wasn't scary, but it was really a good idea.
So, look, we're coming to the end of the duration of my message spell here, and I can feel the magic fading away from my wizardly eyes. But before it leaves me, I want to thank my guest again, Wisperia Wailing, for allowing me to conjure her into my realm, if only for a short time. And, Wisperia, can you remind everyone where they can find you and how they when they should look for your work in progress?
I'm Wisperia Wailing on Instagram, and I will for sure that on my Instagram when it comes out.
Nice. Well, good luck with that. I'm looking forward to reading it. I've already had a sneak peek behind the curtain. I'm seeing some of this stuff, and I think if you are into horror and you like poetry, this is the buy for you. Wisperia, thanks again for coming into the realm and to our followers.
Thank you.
Thanks again for lending your ear to us today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.